All right, welcome back, man. There's nothing like first day, camp, full squad together, and the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, Jeff Hafley, joins us before going out on the field. Coach, good morning, man, and thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning. You got great energy this morning. I like it.
Oh, I'm full of Dunkin' Donut coffee, Coach. I don't want to tell you the number, but it could be around 50 ounces since. So, yeah, I'm ready to go.
What do you put in it?
Oh, cream and Splenda.
All right.
At least he's watching his sugar.
Hey, Coach, I'm on every kind of pill there is, blood pressure, all the whole deal. Hey, so, Coach, you know, it's, man, I've been saying this, and I've never seen a better opportunity for 90 guys to have a chance to make a team and not necessarily start, but have a chance to play a lot of football than this group you've put together under the circumstances you have. Do you feel that way as you look at the start of this thing?
Yeah, certainly. I think, you know, it's something that I addressed yesterday when I talked to our media here. You got a lot of guys, a lot of them that are on one-year deals. You got a lot of rookies. So you got a lot of guys with opportunities. And what I think that's going to create is they're going to practice hard. I mean, they're going to play in the preseason games hard, and they got to give everything they have, because for some of them, this is their shot. For some of them, you know, this is a shot to resurrect their career. For some of them, it's new. For some of these rookies, they have a chance to get on the field right away. So I anticipate the competitiveness to be at an all-time high, and I hope they push each other, and hopefully we'll be able to bring out their best.
Now, Malik Willis is somebody that you had in Green Bay. You basically saw him running the scout team against your defense. Can you tell the fans what they can expect to see from Malik during training camp, the exhibition season, and what you hope eventually transitions to the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, just from his skill set, I think people want to just kind of assume that he's a running quarterback, right? Let's call that what it is. And, you know, I don't believe that he is. If you really watch the games closely last year, his accuracy down the field was incredible. Now, can he throw the ball in the pocket? Sure. Can he make things happen when he escapes the pocket? Absolutely. Can he run? For sure. But I think what you're going to see in training camp is we're going to keep him in the pocket. We're going to play football with him. And then, you know, as we get into more live, real-life situations, if things break down, then I think you're going to see him make people miss, extend plays, throw the ball deep down the field, or take off, and all of a sudden it's a 30-yard gain. You know, when we get to the preseason, we'll figure out exactly where he's at, how much he'll play, and all those things. But I said it to you yesterday, the biggest thing I want him to go through in camp is I want him to feel comfortable with his scheme, and I want his confidence to grow, because I think that's the most important thing for him right now.
Coach, we talk a lot about this, and the open competition thing's always popping up. If you see a guy, I mean, somebody's got to start today and run with the ones, and somebody's got to run with the twos, and sometimes we read into all this stuff, and the other guys fit into the twos and threes working together. If somebody's impressing you a lot that might be a rookie free agent or a draft pick from this year, can you see it when you're in meetings and go, hey, we got to move this guy up and get him some work with different groups? Do you work that way, Coach, or is it more about staying with the guys you're with throughout camp?
No, I absolutely work that way. In my opinion, it's our job to find the best players, and I think you see that in practice. I think you see it when you watch film. And then ultimately, I think the players see it. And I think it's our job to make sure that we get the best guys on the field. You know, there was a time in Cleveland when I was a DB coach where I think we drafted a guy in the first round and we had a rookie tryout guy. The tryout guy made the team. The tryout guy wound up starting for us and played more than the first round pick. I personally don't care where we drafted a guy. I don't care how we signed a guy. If a player on our team deserves to play and is better, I think we have to give him the opportunity to do so.
Ah. You know what, Coach? I sit here and argue with this guy all the time that I put a lot on number one picks. I want him to be franchised. I know it doesn't work out all the time, and you had to just come out and say that, because he's always telling me fifth and sixth round picks.
I don't care where they're drafted.
I think the higher guy is. I think it's all right for our fan base to like expect a lot out of our two number one picks, Coach. But
yeah, I agree for sure. I mean, they're picked there for a reason, and I have a lot of expectation for them as well. I think, of course we do. But at the end of the day,
you're right.
Our job is to put the guy who gives us the best chance to win on the field. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to give up on a guy early in his career if he's not playing well right away. It's a different game. The NFL is harder to play in than college football. But at the same time, if there's somebody that jumps out and it's like, oh my gosh, I mean, I lived through that. And then I had that player come with me to San Francisco. The guy wound up playing in Super Bowls. The guy wound up being a really good football player.
Who's the player, coach?
Who is that guy, coach?
K'Wan Williams.
Wow. Wow. That's good stuff. Coach, I got to ask
you. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, this is great because it is. And hey, you're hoping, like I said this too, I'd love to be a rookie free agent on this team. Mm-hmm. This is good. This is a good chance to come in and whatever they did in OTAs and mini camps and now bring it into the pads and now it counts. What a great opportunity. Yeah, to your point.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's, you know, I think when you guys come and you watch practice, and then once we do put the pads on, the intensity level is going to be high. I mean, imagine you're one of the 40 plus guys on a 1-year deal who this is, they're fighting for their lives as far as work goes, right? Or like you said, you're a rookie and you see, man, I can get out there and possibly start this year. I mean, it is going to be, guys are going to be in the office late. Guys are going to be busting their butts. They're going to be recovering. And at the end of the day, if they're not, then they're not the right guy.
I got to ask you about, besides Malik, the name that pops up a lot on these shows year-round, Coach, if you listen to in the morning at all, Chop Robinson. Year three, a first-round pick, shown at times. He's got great stuff. He's obviously physically really talented. How are you looking at him coming into to this year, having him for the first time?
I'm excited about Chop. I thought he did a really good job in OTAs. Spent a lot of time getting to know him. I talked to him throughout the summer, developed a good relationship with him. He came back. He looks great. He's about 265 pounds, so he's as big and as strong as he's ever been, and that's important to me. Guys got to be able to play the run. They got to be able to set edges. They got to be able to, you know, stick their face in there and get dirty and enjoy and embrace that. And then I think what you've seen his flashes of, he's got an elite get off, and he needs to be coached and developed. So it's not just his get off. He's got to develop, you know, some good pass rush moves, a counter, and he has to be able to finish. But you talk about guys who are drafted in the first round, there is still high expectation for him. Now we need to push him. We need to develop and coach him, and he needs to work at it. So we're going to be on it starting today in practice, and, you know, I'll be excited to see what we can do with him.
I wanted to ask you about the secondary. We're here talking with Miami Dolphins head coach Jeff Hafley. You worked your way up the NFL ranks and the coaching ranks in the secondary. Dave Wannstedt gave you your first opportunity coaching a secondary. My standards are pretty high for you in this secondary. Can you handicap that safety and cornerback unit for me?
What would you like me to do with it? You want to talk about... be more specific with what you're looking for.
Okay. What are you looking for from the cornerback position? We obviously know that Chris Johnson's probably going to play nickel. Juju's got a lot of talent, but hasn't stayed healthy. Who is the third guy that is front running or competing to start on that boundary spot?
You're going to have a bunch of guys, right? Marshall's out there. He's going to play more outside than he played inside. Chris, we're certainly going to put out there, but you're going to see him go inside. You're going to see him go inside in some situations when you come out and you watch practice. You know, Juju's back. We got a bunch of guys right now that it's kind of like every other position. It's like, who's going to take it? You know, when I look back and I watch OTAs, there were some days where certain guys jumped out where it was like, man, Juju had a good practice. And then, holy cow, Bonner had put together two good days and had like three interceptions, and Marshall was really consistent and Chris flashed. And I mean, I think it's going to sort itself out. And I think what we have to look at is, like, just me being totally honest with you, is if we find two guys we feel great about on the outside, then maybe Chris plays inside more. If we don't, then maybe Chris plays outside more and we put someone else on the inside. So this is going to be fun for us as coaches too, because as we watch and get to know these young players, as well as some of these other players that just got here, we have to figure out who the best players are and kind of put them in those positions. And the corner position, like you mentioned, is one of them that I'm really excited to, you know, see because I'm going to be around those guys a lot. And I think there's talent there. We just got to get them in the right spot.
Coach, do you spend more time? I know your background as a defensive coordinator. You find yourself maybe early in camp more on the defensive side of the ball, or you try to spread out your time here in camp early on?
I'm going to call it again. And now that we hit training camp, I'm going to take the clicker back and I'm going to start calling the defense again. I think it's very important for the Mike linebackers to hear how I call it and how I enunciate calls, the alerts that I give them, the tips that I give them, just constantly hearing my voice, how it comes out. I think that's huge as we get into the season. So you'll see me back there talking to the Mike backer, calling in the defense. Now at the same time, I'm going to be around, you know, individually, I'll be roaming around the offensive side of the field. When we come back up in the office, I'll be in the quarterback room because I really want to make sure that my relationship is really strong in that room. And I'll watch some of the tape with the offensive guys, but I'm going to be more around the defense now. I really want to focus on that as we get in the training camp. I kind of stayed away from that in OTAs and in the off season and kind of really observed and watched and made sure everything was how I wanted it. But I think it's time for me to get back and get to work on that side a little bit more than I did.
Coach, 21 draft picks these last two drafts, 13 this year, 8 last year. I just think it's a huge year for coaching. I don't usually sit here and talk about coaching this and boy, but for individual coaches and teaching the techniques you want to teach, and especially with all these young guys, probably more important than ever, not to ever take away the importance of coaching, but with so many young guys and been coached a different way in college or even last year to what you want to do this year, I can't imagine it being more important than now.
No, you're right. And I think I think this is still a developmental league. I think the way the salary cap is built, you spend X amount of money on your top players, and then you need to develop. You need to develop those other guys. I mean, that's where I think some people don't see it that way, but it was the same thing when I was in Green Bay. You had your few superstar guys, and then you better develop those other guys. So this year we have a lot of those guys. I 100% agree with you. So as I said to the coaches today in our staff meeting, like, it's okay when one of these young guys, they make a mistake today. And it's okay if they make a mistake tomorrow. We have to coach them. We have to develop them. Now, they better not make the same mistake over and over and over again. And then we have some problems. But we're going to have to be patient with some of the mistakes. We're going to have to find out how much they can handle from an X and O standpoint. Because hopefully, as the season goes on, we can do more and more with these younger players and this young team. But we need to be patient, and we need to coach them on their eyes and their feet and their hand placement and how my expectation is or our expectation is, how we're going to run to the football, how we're going to hold the football, how we're going to attack the football. Like, those are all things that some people might see that as being really challenging this year. I see it as an unbelievable opportunity to kind of, you know, build this thing the right way. And that fires me up.
Coach, the other thing that we've talked a lot about is Rodriguez and Dotson, as well as Brooks. Could you see it? I know it's still about competition. You guys have talked about it, but obviously you like to play all those guys. Is there a way to play all three of those guys a lot of football?
For sure. You know, it depends. If we're seeing a lot of 21 and 22 personnel and we need to get bigger with more backers, and those guys turn out to be the three best linebackers we have, then we need to find a way to get them on the field. If we're playing a lot of 11 and there's more speed on the field, then there might only be two linebackers on the field. But I think that goes back to these first couple weeks in camp. Who are our best two linebackers? Then who are our best three linebackers? And is our third linebacker better than maybe having an extra DB in the game? Then let's play more linebackers than we play DBs this year. If we have more DBs and we think that we got a guy big enough to maybe hold up against 12 personnel, then maybe you'll see a bigger DB on the field more than you will a Sam linebacker. But those are good players. And again, that's why I'm fired up to get out there and start coaching.
Coach, not as fired up as everybody else is to see this thing. So, hey, we really appreciate you coming on. Really looking forward to it today and being out there. And again, Coach, thank you for finding time for us. We appreciate you coming on with us. Thank you.
Yeah, likewise. I think it's important for, you know, me to be on these shows in the community and keep people updated. And, you know, I appreciate you guys on having me on. So we'll see you at practice, and hopefully we'll get to say hello soon in person.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Great having you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Jeff Hafley, the Dolphins head coach, spent some time with us this morning. And, man, there's so many things. But, yeah, we got that message, man. We got that message. And some things we'll come back and talk about. And Perk will join us a little bit later in the show as well this morning. We've got opening day. I say opening day. Why do I do that? I just went baseball. First day reporting date for the Miami Dolphins. Go in, get their physicals, get moved in, and then we'll be on the field tomorrow for the first day at out at Hard Rock Stadium. And we got a lot of stuff to get to. So I took some time last night, Dave. I did a do we have list, or we have to find out if we have it or we don't have it. I did a list of guys that have it that I'm not worried about. And I did a list of we got to find out if you have it. And you haven't shown me enough. And by the way, just before we start this, these two lists, I didn't put any of the 21 draft picks on the list. I did not see enough last year, just me. I think some of those guys can be really good players. And they're the upside of this thing, the 21 draft picks last year and this year. But I did not put any of them. Obviously, I haven't seen this rookie class play at all, so you can't put any of them on there. I have a feeling some of them may end up being good, and I think there's three or four guys going to be a big part from last year of this team. But I haven't seen it yet. So I don't know if you're with me on that. As far as that, we have it, and I'm not worried about it. I want to share that list with you here this morning. First show, and again, I thought this was a nice way to kind of open camp for everybody going in. Aaron Brewer, I even put him in order. Aaron Brewer, number one, because what he did, he was as good as anybody else at what they did. Jordan Brooks, second, led the league in tackles. Devon Achane was third for me, who's, you know, one of the five or six best running backs in football. Zach Sealer was next. Patrick Paul, I put Patrick Paul right behind Zach Sealer. Austin Jackson, I put when healthy, but I know he can play, and he can play at a good enough level. Tyrell Dotson, I put on there. And my last one that you might not have seen enough is Greg Dulcich, I put on the
list.
Yeah,
I put him on the so my list, because my list would go Achane number one. 5.7 yards, led the league in rushing, 4.1 yards after contact.
Led the league in yards per carry. Yes, he did. He was good.
Yards per carry. Yeah. So when I'm talking impact on the team, on the offense, I have to go with him number one as a playmaker. But, and then Jordan Brooks number two.
Led the league in tackles, man. And that's what the game's about, blocking and tackling. I probably could have put him one. Yes.
So then Brewer third.
Had a great year.
Similar, yeah.
Just ridiculous.
I mean, and it's interesting, centers are now getting a lot more money. The Raiders went out and bought a center for Fernando Mendoza.
I think it's important. You got new quarterbacks, or you got guys that haven't done it a lot, and I think they looked and said Malik Willis got to have a guy he can trust as center. Yes.
So, and then I go Zach Sealer, and he kind of had a – with all the young players around
him last
year.
Had a babysitting first half.
Right, exactly. Yes. That's what I was going to say. He was sort of the caretaker for a lot of people.
He was great with those guys. By the way, you couldn't ask a veteran. And I think to the point it hurt him, because when you're not having success as young guys, you start freelancing. And he's over there going, because they gave up some big yards early in the season. The teams were running for damn near 200 yards against
him. And people were saying, where's Zach Sealer? You know, but
he took a lot of the heat for it, and he's going, I'm playing with my puppies. They got to grow up a little bit. And he coached them up every day. He never got down on them. That guy, Zach Sealer, is, well, I'll tell you what, if you could handpick, like Dave, you're going in the league and you can handpick, and I was fortunate enough to have Nat and Jimmy with me, and Bruce Hardy, and they were lifesavers coming in. You could ask questions to, and they'd come over to you, or, hey, man, you're having a rough day. Don't worry about it. Everybody's been here. Hey, a veteran got on you, because we had some old school guys would just rip you. I don't want to say names. And these guys were great. And he's that guy. He's that guy for those guys last year. They came up, and to their credit, hey, Zach, what do I do in this situation, in this situation? You know, they're looking at Zach Sealer. He's smaller than all those guys. Those guys are all bigger guys, and yet they're going, how do you have 70 tackles a year? How do you have 90 tackles? How do you get double digits, sacks? What are you doing? I want to learn everything from you. So, and they've got good guys. And by the way, a lot of guys on this list have that. So anyway, those are some of the guys on the list. Patrick Paul, you had on that
He's
list,
my next
obviously.
One. Patrick Paul.
Austin, did you put Austin Jackson
I
on there?
I did not. Because
the injuries.
The injury. I mean, you can't define the list. As I understood it, it's guys you can count on and have proven themselves to say.
I've given
okay,
him a fresh start that and it's a contract year. And I did. I stuck my neck out for Patrick Paul on this list.
Yeah, yeah. I think he showed
excuse
enough
me for
that,
Austin Jackson
I was say,
on this
okay,
list. Sorry
okay.
about that. I Patrick, threw you a curveball.
Austin Jackson, I can't count that he's going to be there after the last 2 years.
All right.
He's been hurt.
And, I got you.
But if he plays 17 games, 15, 16 games, you're going to have a good
right
tackle.
Did you put Tyrell Dotson on that list?
Tackle. He's my next one. Tyrell Dotson's next.
Listen, man, I don't want to forget. First of all, communication. He's a dot guy. Whatever color dot you want to call it, he's a dot guy that calls out things. And not everybody wants that, by the way. Not everybody wants to be in charge of everybody and barking out signals and making changes. And that's big importance for that defense. So he had a zillion tackles.
But I will say I don't understand how he's going to be starting this year. You don't draft Jacob Rodriguez 43rd.
I agree.
And say no, you're going to sit the bench. No. So I'm curious to see what happens.
You put Dulcich on there?
I did not. I did not.
That's right.
He's in the second tier. You know, you had the second tier.
I did. I have that. I have to see more list.
I need to see more.
All right. So, I want to get to that list coming up here because we got some other news, as you heard in the update as well. The Dolphins have signed Cleveland Farrell, who was first-round pick. If I'm not mistaken, I think Mike Mayock actually drafted him with the Raiders going back. And fourth overall pick for the Raiders. And just, he was, oh, by the way, he's okay last year. He played for San Francisco, but he's bounced around now. He's been on some teams. And for a fourth overall pick, now 29 years old, he really hasn't worked out. I mean, your fourth pick in a draft as a pass rusher, and we've had some guys ourselves, so we know about it. We've taken a few up high that haven't worked out. But he's doing enough to stay around. He had four sacks with the 49ers last year. This is fifth team. We're his fifth team, and he's been with San Francisco twice, just to give you an idea that he's been on some different teams. But they're desperate, man. We talk, and I think if you just sit back and watch moves people make, and you're going, hey, I'm really worried. I think you've been, right? Pass rushers are number one. Well, they are too.
Yeah.
Like by signing a guy right before they go to camp, they're like
they're hoping they have someone. You know, they take eight maybes and you know they have a couple lower round draft picks. They have a lot of guys who have had a year or showed maybe it could be something because right now they have nobody you can count on.
He's the most productive. The guy they just signed is the most productive guy sack wise.
That's scary.
They would have had except you know chop. Chop was on the team last year, but the guys they got from the outside. So we'll see what happens with that. And of course, Joshua Uche was going to be a part of this thing as well in the competition. But when we come back, with the group that I'm kind of looking, and I got to see more for the next step, and that brings in a whole new group. Now, listen, this next group, including that 21 draft picks over the last 2 years. That's really the key. I'm not worried about any of those guys except Austin Jackson, to be fair, to my list I just put together, staying healthy. We're going to find out today. I am dying to see, not today, but tomorrow when they go on the field, are they going to work him in slowly? Because I'm afraid because of he just did a little bit of work 6 weeks ago. I don't know if they're going to give him the green light right away. And look, and I'm like everybody else, Storm Duck and Baker both out, and that's not good.
I'm not worried.
You're not worried about that?
No, give me a month from now.
Our PUP guys, we don't have a great PUP going into camp.
But you know, camp is so long in today's world.
I know it is.
And they're working out all off season now. And so a month from now, if they're not on the field, then you start to get worried because you're starting to get close to the opening kickoff.
I hate looking over to see who's on stationary bikes when camp starts. And by the way, if you were playing for Shula, you didn't want to be on that stationary bike.
Here's my scary thing about this list, Joe. Yeah. I only have 7 people
on that list we just did?
Seven on a whole roster. 7 people, and one of them is Riley Patterson.
Nobody else is doing that.
One of them is the kicker.
Oh.
Okay. And so that is a very thin roster of players you can catch. And how many are at impact of the premier positions, you know, the edge rushers, cornerbacks. I put receiver in that in today's world. Quarterback, 7 players.
I got a group that I feel most of them have a good chance to jump on this list real soon. So that's kind of the second tier, and we'll talk about that a little bit. We also have some NBA numbers are starting to come out on wins and losses, and it's interesting where they have the Miami Heat.
It's a little scary, a little sobering for all the euphoria there.
Not
was.
Too far from where we were last year.
Wow.
I know. Anyway, we'll talk about that. And the Canes. I tell you what, the gamblers like and Vegas likes the Canes, their schedule. But one team surprised me a little bit. About everything else, Perk, it's great to have you this morning. And it's time to see what it looks like with a little competition out there, brother. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm living good, man. I can't wait to see what's going on out here. I'm excited. I'm fired up about this. Just walked into the facility, walked in with Kyle Crabb. We were talking. I'm fired up about the whole thing.
Yeah, it was funny. We were just talked to Coach Half here not too long ago and asked him about, hey, can a guy on second or third team, if he's playing well for a few practices, can he move up? And he goes, yeah, that's what this camp's going to be about. That's going to be one of the stories of this camp is we're going to play the best guys, man. And if this guy looks like he's it, and he even said something I didn't want to hear, but if you're a rookie free agent playing better than a first-round pick, then, you know, that got Omar all liquored up over here. He got all lathered up, ready to go. But what's your thoughts on some of the things you're looking at, Perk?
Look, I like what Hapley said, and the reason I like it is because it gets into player development, right? And this is a draft and develop situation, right? The last regime, they were signed a big-name free agent, let's win now. This is draft and develop. And I'll say this, I know what you're saying when you're saying it doesn't matter where you were drafted. In this particular situation, you do need to see those first and second round picks of the last 3 years come through. And one of the big reasons is if you're going to be strong in the trenches, you need those guys, right? Chop Robinson and Patrick Paul from 2024, Kenneth Grant and Svi Nya 2025, Caden Proctor this year. You need those guys to come through if you're going to be strong in the trenches.
But here's my point. You know where I stand on this. Tell me the reason why Kenneth Grant is better than Jordan Phillips. Do you have one?
He's not.
Okay, thank you. End of the conversation.
Story's not over yet. That's not fair.
I know
either.
It's not over yet.
It's a question of use of resources. So on Sunday, it doesn't matter if you make $300,000 or $3 million a year,
true.
Right?
That's true. I agree with that. Yep.
But when you look at how you use your resources in the off season, in free agency and the draft, it reflects badly on the organization and you lose faith in them. So it does matter.
Let me ask you, are you down on Kenneth Grant like Omar is? Omar just thinks he's just a guy.
I got to see, you know, Kenneth Grant and Chop Robinson are in the same place with me.
Ooh.
From the standpoint of show me one thing that you can do that's elite. Ooh. Can you rush the passer at an elite level?
Can
you
stop the run?
Run at an elite level. Right. Just show me one thing that you can do, and then we can figure out how to put you in the rotation and how to build around you and how to play to your strengths. But until you show me that, then, yeah, I am kind of down on you.
Okay.
The book is not closed on you, but you got to show me one thing that you can do and then we can build and we can see how you fit in. I haven't seen that with KG or with Chop.
That's fair. You guys are both right. You're right. That's fair.
Joe asked Coach Hafley a question, and I really love the answer, and I love the question. Do you see a way where the Dolphins can play Jordan Brooks, Tyrell Dotson, and Jacob Rodriguez on the field at the same time?
Well, yeah. Well, let's say if you take Willie Gay out of it at the strong side linebacker, I think this whole defense, this whole linebacking core is going to be kind of a situational hybrid unit, right? And so on first down, you know, first and from the first down from the opponent's 20, it might look like this. On you know, first down from the opponent's 15 or from your own 15, it might look like this, right? It's going to be very situational. I think Hap is going to be very big on situational football, that here's what it looks like on first down, second and long, second and short. This guy is going to be in. This guy is going to be in. You got a big tight end, Kyle Lewis. You get on him. Otherwise, Chris Johnson is in the slot. I think it remains to be seen how they use them. But, yes, I do think they all can be utilized at the same time. It's just a matter of, like I was saying with KG and Shop, show us what you can do. Show us your strength. Jacob Rodriguez, Trey Moore, Kyle Lewis. We know what Terrell Dotson and all these other guys, the veterans, right, the returnees, we know what they do well, Jordan Brooks and Willie Gay. Let's see what these other guys do well. Then we figure out how you slot them in. But, yeah, I think all three of them can play, but let's see what their specialties are, how where they excel. Then you figure out how they fit in.
Hey, Perk, from OTAs and mini camps, a couple young guys that you kind of were watching and going, damn, he had another couple nice plays today. I can't wait to summer camp to see this guy. Do you have a couple of those young guys that you were kind of watching? I don't care where they were taken or that you were like, sure, this is going to be an interesting one to
see.
You do. Well, I think number ones are important. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you know what? Kyle Lewis is definitely one of those guys, yeah. Right? The linebacker. He's definitely one of those guys who you can't wait to see how they're going to use him. What does he do? I think Trey Moore is also one of those guys. Caleb Douglas is one of those guys. The third-round wide receiver from Texas Tech. Trey Moore, the fourth-round linebacker from the University of Texas. You know, there are guys like that that I want to see what you can do. Who was the DB that you were talking about from Indiana earlier?
Lewis Moore.
I want to see what he can do. I'm not saying that all of these guys can step in and be starters, but do you have a specialty? Do you have a role? Do you have something to offer on that 53-man roster, or you know, in the defensive rotation? So yeah, those are a few of the guys that I really want to see. You know, what can you do? And look, I also want to see some of these veterans at wide receiver, right? Jalen Tolbert, what can you do? Were you a 1 year flash in the pan? Jalen Reagor, can you revive your career? You were a first round pick. Greg Dulcich, you know, what we saw at the end of the season, is that going to be a flash in the pan, or is that who you are? So yeah, there's a lot of guys that, and you know, I know Dulcich isn't exactly a young guy, but there's a lot of guys, and neither is Tolbert, but a lot of guys that I want to see. Yeah, show me what you can do.
Hey, Perk, I want to ask you this. I'm gonna give you $1,000 to bet this on Vegas.
All right.
I didn't know you had an extra $1,000 rolling around.
Always wealthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop lying.
Where did that extra $1,000 come from?
Listen. One player that you're going to say is going to have a breakout season from the Dolphins this year, who would you put your money on?
Ooh, let's see. A breakout season. That's a good question, because I don't know that I have anybody slotted to have a breakout season. I think the three guys that got extensions are going to have good seasons, right? Achan, Brooks, and Brew. I think Malik Willis will be decent. I don't know if he's going to have a breakout season.
Dulcich can catch 70 or 80 footballs.
You know, I've got Dulcich at around 600 yards right now, which is good, but it's not, you know, Pro Bowl breakout type of season. That's solid. I don't have anybody slated right now.
You're not going to name Chop Robinson? You're not going to name Chop Robinson? No,
I'm not just going to throw names out.
Juju
Brents. Dante Trader.
Yeah, Trader and Jordan Phillips are two guys that, you know, I'm really, really high on those dudes. The 2025 fifth round pick, both of them from Maryland. I'm really high on both of those dudes. I think those are the two. Thank you. Those are the two that I'm really counting on. Yeah. Jordan Phillips and Dante Trey. They're grown men already.
Boy, they came in camp. You know, when you notice, like, I know you guys see it up close, so you see what everybody's body looks like all the time. But I got to tell you, those two look different, didn't they? Both of them.
Yes, they do.
They're like, all right.
You could see they put in the work.
Yeah, you're like,
right. And you saw it on the field with both of them. But the little things, you know, both of them are at the head of the line for the drills in OTAs and minicamp. Both of them are working, listening to veterans and talking to the rookies. They're doing all of those little things that, you know, Sully and Hap have been talking about, that you know that the veterans that Brew and Brooks and Achan want to see from young guys. I think those guys have what it takes. I really think the last regime hit on those two. I will give Chris Greer tons of credit for drafting those two kids.
Fifth round picks too, Joe. Fifth round picks. I'm just saying.
Oh no, you can do everything I say today. You can do with a draft pick, man. Omar's a first round hater, man. He's a first round hater. Marino hit you in the head with a football today and reminds you of what a first round pick looks like.
Listen, Dolphins haven't had one of those in a long time, Joe.
That's a horrible.
First round.
You admit, though, we got to hit on some ones at some point and go, damn, that guy looks like a damn one right there.
Laramie Tunsil might be the last time. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, first round picks around here, you just throw them in the pile. Figure it out.
Yeah, but look, if you're going to be strong in the trenches, you better hit on those first round picks, right? Chop, KG, and Caden Proctor. You better develop those dudes.
Listen, at the rate these offensive linemen and offensive guards and cornerbacks are getting paid, cornerbacks are not making $30 million a year. You better take them early and develop them because they're not going to be cheap players.
No, I agree with that. The problem is you just have a lot of needs and you couldn't get to all of them. I love when fans go, oh, why don't we take this guy? We need this. I go, look, man, we needed what we took too. I mean, we had a lot of needs.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to ask you here real quickly too. We don't talk about it very much at all. And we know one of the third round picks is going to be out and hopefully – Omar and I agree, hopefully in November we'll have a wide receiver back. But we don't talk about Kazmarek and Douglas very much.
Yeah.
two third-round picks. Another one came out and said, hey, third-round picks are kind of priority picks. We consider those, you know, first three rounds to be there. What do we get out of those two this year?
You know, I really like Kazmarek and his potential. I liked it when we talked to him in the post-draft interview, which I know that's just talk, but the attitude is there. Just like it is with Jordan Phillips and Dante Trader, I really liked what I heard from Kazmarek. Now, he's the inline / blocking tight end, so we aren't going to see what he really has till they put the pads on.
That's true.
But, I really like the attitude and the mentality. Caleb Douglas, I'm waiting to see. I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic. I think Chris Bell is the man from this draft class and among those wide receivers. I've told you that he reminds me of Chris Chambers, just a big physical gifted guy with good hands who can do a lot for you. He's not a speedy Tyreek, Jalen Waddle type receiver. He's more of the, I don't know if I should throw out the name A.J. Brown, but Chris Chambers.
Debo Samuel. See, it's so funny. We're all talking about these big body guys. But, no, he is. I just told I told Omar earlier, I think he's made for the NFL, though. That body is made for crossing routes, down the middle.
I like him. Just don't rush him onto the field.
Why are you always putting a negative spin? We're not going to run him out like a month early. Like, hey, ACL's not quite ready, but – we're going to play your limping. You're not limping as much.
Yeah, you are. You're going to rush him out.
I think he gets 6 or 8 games this year.
That's all we need.
That's what I think.
That's November. Right. And that's beautiful.
Yeah, that's November. Right, that's November. That's what I think. Sometime around Thanksgiving, he makes his debut, and, yeah, he plays 6 or 8 games, and you see what you've got, but then his real season is next year. But I think you see Chris Bell. I'm excited to see him. I really am. I think he could be the steal of the draft.
Perk, thanks for coming on, and I'm sorry you had to put up with this first-round stuff. Like, I don't know why we even have first-round picks with Omar. Let's just give them all away, and we get a whole bunch of fifth-round picks.
I trade them for second-round picks because this team don't use first very well.
We haven't always done great with twos either.
Yeah, that's true.
But, hey,
There ain't no Dwight Stevenson coming through the door anytime soon.
Hey, if you want to be strong in the trenches, those ones and twos of the last few years better be developed in the next couple of years, right?
Are you going to tell me we can't talk about Hall of Famers again? I just did it again, man.
It is what it is, Joe. You living in the glory days.
Yeah, I do.
It's been 26 years of mediocrity around here.
Oh, look at you. You know what? Don't let Omar come through that front door today.
Let me ask you something. What makes this era different than the Parcells era and the Philbin era and the Gase era and the Parcells teams didn't win at all either.
That's right.
Here's what it is to me that I like that you have a defensive coach who has an aggressive mentality. Philbin didn't have that. Gase didn't have that. Flo did have that. McDaniel definitely didn't have that.
Oh, stop. He was aggressive offensively. Stop it.
By the way, you can defend Mike McDaniel all morning.
Stop it.
That's what you've been doing. He invites you out for a little vacation to L.A.
Look, Omar popping all that mess about, it was quarterback injuries and injury. The problem with the McDaniel offense is I continually see it was a one-dimensional offense, two of the Tyreek that was easy to shut down, and all of this creative play calling and stuff. We never saw it against Buffalo or Philly or Kansas City. We saw it all the time against the Jets and the bad teams, right?
Easy to shut down. 1,700 yard seasons were easy to shut down. Okay.
Hey, what happened here, man? We were off to like first day off, ready to go.
I know.
And Omar, it's not you, Perk. It's that damn Omar all of a sudden that wants to bring up the last 26 years, man. There's a cloud in here. Oh, hell, it's getting ready to rain. Anyway.
You're right, Joe. Look, I'm excited about the new era. I'm genuinely excited about seeing practice today and seeing what Hath and Malik and Sully and I'm fired up. It's a new era. It's a new start. Everything is going to be different. I love the defensive coach. I love the mentality. I think you're going to see good things. I can't guarantee a playoff win in the next 3 years, but I think you're going to see a different team with a different attitude, a different philosophy, and I think it's going to work.
Hey, Perk, you can sit next to me today because I like this positive stuff. Blue sky out there. I love it. So thank you, Perk. Hey, Perk, you have a great day. Screw Omar.
Enjoy your 7-3 bill, Perk.
All right, we'll see you, Perk. We'll be out there in a little while, and you can hang out with Omar a little bit here and find out about who he's dating right now and stuff. After weeks and weeks of speculation and what's going to happen, finally here, day two of camp for the Miami Dolphins. Jeff Hafley, yesterday, day one, and to joining us this morning out there for all the action yesterday, Kyle Krabs, Locked On Dolphins, A to Z Sports as well, and does some great stuff as we say good morning to Kyle. Kyle, it's great to have you back here in South Florida. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing this morning?
We're good. We've been going at it a little bit on certain things that Omar and I are always going to disagree on. Let's get in the open competition. And there is a lot of open competition. But at the same time, probably half the positions they know who are going to start. Would you agree with that? About half, they got a pretty good idea who's going to start. Four guys on the offensive line we know are going to start if they're healthy, right?
Yes, if they, you know, they could have chose to prioritize potentially moving on from Austin Jackson. They reworked that contract. They had some nice things to say John Eric Sullivan did about what he's capable of being as a player. Obviously, health's a thing there, but brought him back. So I think he's a starter at right tackle. You just extended Aaron Brewer, Patrick Paul, obviously young player, and used a first-round pick on Keaton Proctor. Like, I think those four are really safe to pencil in, and there's some other spots where you probably look at it and you say half of it, you kind of know what it is, and then it's open, ideally open competition for those other spots.
Yeah, and for depth and rotation, like the defensive line, the defensive tackles, I think all of them. I think Biggers will play a lot this year. Omar was just talking about him. You think he'll be in the rotation and getting some snaps?
Yeah, I think so. I think he definitely looks leaner than he did last year, so I think that's an omen that I know we have talked on this show when I've been on with you and Omar about Higgers potentially playing out at defensive end in some of their heavier sets. And there's been some questions about who are the edge setters of this group or who's going to play defensive end. And I certainly think he's going to be a part of that puzzle. And it's just a question of how much does that front end up being what works really well for them.
Definitely. Kyle, obviously there's a lot of mystery about Malik Willis and what he's going to look like. I can tell you that I've probably seen him run with the football one time since he signed with the Dolphins. What do you think his game is going to look like when he's finally unleashed as a, you know, not a pocket quarterback, which is what they're trying to get him to establish himself as now?
Yeah, I'll be really interested to see if it evolves throughout kind of the preseason schedule, if they put any design quarterback runs on film. Do they leave that totally as a mystery? Because I do think that's something you have to be selective about as far as when to choose to call on him as a runner, but it can be a really impactful piece of what he does. And I think that balance of, you know, maybe what you're giving up from a precision and a timing standpoint with a guy who's a first-year starter, you see a lot of rookies when they come in, that's where they kind of balance some of that out, is when they're able to extend play. So I think the big thing for Malik is you saw it when he was in Green Bay. He's not afraid to use his legs. If he gets forced off his spot, he'll get on the move, and he can run, and he's willing to run. It's just when you're in those situations in real time, he has to be smart and have perspective and make mature decisions in the open field there to not try to do too much.
Kyle, one thing I really liked yesterday, there are a lot of different things to like, but the one thing is Malik got a chance to throw the football to everybody. I was a little surprised, actually, to see him throwing to Kevin Coleman and Caleb Douglas yesterday, that they were getting snaps with Malik. Did that surprise you, or you expect everybody, like all five or six of those guys, to get time with the number one quarterback?
I kind of expect them all to. That's what we talked about, certain positions where, you know, there's probably not a whole lot of competition. You can write it in and maybe not Sharpie, but Penn, who's going to start in spots. I don't think wide receivers like that, you know, and I don't think it should be like that. I think that should be a full-on battle royale with all of those guys, and you're trying to build chemistry with all those guys. Some of those guys were up in Jacksonville with Malik doing their private throwing sessions during the off period, and I think that's outstanding, but you know, that wide receiver group, I want to see as many different combinations to see who he really clicks with, because that there's no promises made to anybody in that room. There's no marquee investment like a first or second round pick. Now, Caleb Douglas drafted 75th. You'd like to think you're going to get a certain impact from him, but it's a little different the deeper into the draft you get. I do think the expectations shift a little bit, and I don't want to start anything between you and Omar about expectations for first round picks. I'm just...
There's nothing. I mean, we go on and on. Yeah, it's never going to change. It's been going on for years, and I expect more out of once. And he look at some of it. He's right about the fifth round pick, especially at safety and defensive tackle, could end up being two of your best players this year on the defensive side of the ball. So,
Kyle, do you know that this team has 8 players left from 6 drafts under Chris Greer? 8.
Yeah, it's really, when you want to wonder why the bottom dropped out as fast as it did, I mean, they made 8 draft picks in 2 years, and one of them was in the first 2 rounds, right? So that's, and then you're having, amidst all that, even when you had consistency with the head coach, and you had two head coaches in 6 years with Chris Greer, or 7 years with Chris Greer, you end up with, how many different defensive and offensive coordinators? Like, when you had a defensive-minded head coach, how many offensive schemes did you run? And then when you had an offensive-minded coach, how many defensive schemes did you run?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of that feeds into...
3-3.
That, yeah. That's such a toxic cycle that you certainly hope that these guys all coming in together at the same time can hopefully set the stage for. And I can't imagine to what level the offense would have to look for Bobby Slowick to be a head coach candidate next offseason. But, man, what a great development it would be to have the GM and the coach come in at the same time and then have 2 or 3 years of continuity with the scheme to kind of get yourself rooted in it so it becomes easier if you do have turnover on your coaching staff.
All right, practice 1. I stayed out of the Chris Greer thing. I was very proud of myself. I didn't even touch it. Everything, hey, the way it ended is how it should end it. Let's talk about who looked good yesterday for you. Some of the young guys that I thought a lot of young guys had their moments yesterday.
Why has it got to be young guys? See, look at the discrimination against Willie Gay. It's always got to be young.
No. Willie Gay did. He had a pick six. It was a nice play. But of the young guys,
see, look at you back at the young guys again.
what'd you think?
I thought I do think two young guys kind of popped. I thought Jacob Rodriguez had a nice day, made a couple of plays on passes in space, and that's something Jeff Hafley talked about this also. I think it was at the combine. He was asked about off-ball linebackers. The first thing out of his mouth was, you know, guys that can play in space. So to see, you know, Jacob Rodriguez make a couple plays on the football, one of them was a pass from Malik Willis over the middle of the field. I thought he showed up in the right kind of way. I will absolutely give Willie Gay's flowers. And, you know, I think with what Jeff Hafley's coming in, if you look at what happened in Green Bay with their personnel, you know, they had a first and second round pick at off-ball linebacker, and then they had this kind of hybrid Isaiah McDuffie's a special teams guy, but he can kind of line up on the edge a little bit and play stack off-ball linebacker, and then Miami drafts Trey Moore in the fourth round, who kind of profiles the same way. Willie Gay's the vet version of that. So I'm really interested to see, like, obviously Willie Gay was the training camp All-Pro last year, and it unfortunately didn't carry over into snaps and opportunities because of what personnel packages they had prepared for him when the season started last year. Really interested to see if Willie keeps this pressure up,
yeah,
if he can parlay that into a bigger role within the defense as we get rolling here this season.
Well, you never forget about him. He's got the big personality and loves playing football, but he makes a lot of plays in practice. You're right. We all get to
that,
see.
That is probably one of the biggest mysteries I have about last year. Like, the guy made plays consistently, but then doesn't get on the football field, which drove me insane. But let me ask you about another player where we're very hopeful that he's going to make plays. Chop Robinson. How much do you think getting up to 265 is going to impact his athleticism? I believe he's got like a ridiculous 9.7 RAS score, which means like one of the best athletes in the draft and the rated athletes in the draft in like the last 10 years. It's comparable to Micah Parsons, but we don't see that on the field. And now that he's gained about 10 pounds, do you think it's going to shave away some of that athleticism?
It might take some of the twitch away. I think he'll still have enough burst. Like, if they're able to keep him, when he talked after practice, he talked about playing in a wide nine alignment, and he talked about, you know, being in a six where, you know, maybe you're, if there's no tight end there, you're going to be in space and playing forward more, versus last year some of their outside linebacker stuff required those guys to drop off into coverage. And I think if you take those reps out for Chop, I think maybe the first step effectiveness comes back, even if he's not as twitchy, because he's just doing the one thing that he's probably best served to do. But I hope it yields a better power profile for him. Like, if tackles are going to be jumping out there to cut that angle out on him,
mm-hmm,
I think that was the missing part of his game for most of his first two seasons, was
counter moves.
Okay, you're gonna play me light and jump out here. I need to take advantage of, if you're setting and you're on the balls of your feet, I need to play down through the middle of you and collapse you and get to the quarterback that way. I think that's the big thing for Chop, that if we can see that, even if the first step is not as dynamic, if he's got a second pitch that he can use off of it, I think it's a net positive for him.
One position, I mean, there's a lot of positions that look open, and we'll be talking about them here for the next 5 or 6 weeks, but the second safety position is very, very interesting to watch with all the different makeups, including guy you drafted, guy you bring with you from Green Bay to play next to Dante Trader. How do you think this plays out?
I think the guy who probably has the best advantage is the guy who's been in the scheme with Hafley the last 2 years. So I think Zane Anderson, at least right now, I would consider to be the guy with the best odds, because he knows all the calls. He knows how to communicate. He understands the terminology. The question is, does somebody else come in,
mm-hmm,
and in that period of time, does the value that they provide to play instinctually or to play physically or to physically surpass what Zane Anderson's experience in the system from a calls perspective is going to give you? And obviously, that's a wait and see type of thing, but I think Zane Anderson right now I would have as that guy just because he knows all of Halfley's tendencies and calls.
It's the continuity as opposed to the playmaking. But here's the thing. Who's going to make plays on that defense? Who? Yes, it's early. We've only watched one practice. But who do you think is going to keep offensive coordinators up at night?
I don't know if they have a bunch of those kinds of guys. Obviously, Jordan Brooks, all-pro type of player. Chris Johnson, you're hopeful, is a guy who they really like and talk about moving and putting in different spots. If you can, if you're free to move Chris Johnson, I think that increases his likelihood of having a high impact. Do I expect him to be a field tilter like from day one? I don't think that's a fair expectation for him, but they certainly seem to think that he can get there. Other than that, like, I think it's Jeff Halfley's scheme. You got to scheme this thing up. You got to keep opposing offenses and opposing quarterbacks on their toes with being able to throw a bunch of different looks, and that's a challenge in and of itself because, as we've well established, they've got all these young guys who are kind of here for the first time together. So how big of a menu can you put together and how fast?
Kyle, everybody's been talking about Jordan Phillips, and we'll see how it plays out here in year two. But also feel like a lot of the media guys from just watching, including the guy that's sitting here, not big Kenneth Grant fans. Is there still upside? I asked both you guys a question, you and Travis, yesterday up there. What are your thoughts on Kenneth Grant? And we'll put the pads on. We'll have a lot of time to find out how he holds up in the middle. But what would be your goal for him, and how do you think he played at the end of last year?
I thought he put some of his best stuff together towards the end of the season. I thought he was really disruptive in the Tampa Bay game. I thought that was one of the better games that he played. He did not start well last year. And I think that's the kind of thing where you're certainly hoping the floor as he comes in is much higher than what it was when he started last year. I think the big thing for Kenneth is that first contact stuff for him. Kind of felt like there were some times where he was not landing his hands with consistency to be able to kind of get guys off of his frame, and then he didn't have answers after that point. So a year under Austin Clark, I certainly think there's upside for his size. And I thought he looked a little trimmed down when we saw him yesterday. I think there's an athleticism for his size component that he could play three technique, he could play one tech. He can get out there and play a four eye and play in the B gap over top of offensive tackles with that size, but he's still got some quickness to him. It's just he's got to put the hands and feet together to be much more consistent and keep his pads down. And that's a big task. But, you know, his top 15 pick, I certainly think he's physically capable of becoming an impactful player.
I think the issue is when he's 20 snaps into the game, is his technique and effort going to be consistent? And that, for me, is conditioning. But, you know, we'll
see. You think his strength should be against the run because he's a big guy, or can he be a good pass rusher?
I think he's physically capable of doing all of it. And I think Omar brings up a legitimate point as a guy who's came through the draft process at like 328, 331, something like that. Like, that's a real thing. And I think that's why the platoon that you have is also important. And that's why it is important that Zeke Biggers plays, because he can give you rotational stuff in a couple different alignments, and Jordan Phillips can give you stuff in a couple different alignments. And I'd like to keep Zach Sealer out of the A-gaps, but he's a guy that's no stranger to playing a lot of snaps. So that kind of goes back to putting the guys in the best positions to be successful from a coaching perspective with when do you have them on the field, with who, in what situations.
Yeah. Hey, before I let you go, day one of Jeff Halfley, what'd you think? We're all kind of watching the head coach out there yesterday. What'd you think of his day one, first time as a head coach?
Yeah, a lot of long periods. I think that was the thing that stood out to me. Some of the guys after practice talked about kind of the intentionality of what they came into the day looking to work on. Interested to see how that evolves. But I like that, you know, there wasn't a lot of guys standing around too much. You know, if they're working on a special teams period, they had four or five position groups working on a drill together for all the guys that are maybe competing for a couple different spots on, like, the punt team. So the fact that they found ways to keep all the guys engaged, they were very intentional per the players on what they were doing. Let's see how it goes from here, and if that
continues and or if it evolves.
Kyle, thank you, man. Appreciate you coming on with Omar and I. Appreciate it very much. I'll see you in a little while.
I'll see both of you guys a little later today. Hope you guys have a great rest of your show.
Okay, thank you. Kyle Crabbs joining us here. Talk a little bit about the Dolphins and day one, now day two coming up here. I want